You know, the word identity means the fact of being who or what a person is. But the problem with that is a lot of times we identify by what we do and not who we are. And that has become a problem in society as a whole. I mean, if you're watching any bit of news, you will see there's a lot of suicides. It doesn't matter how much money people have. It doesn't matter how much fame people have. There is a lack of understanding purpose. When you don't understand your purpose, you feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do. It's why here at Reach Church, we say we want to be a place for you to meet Jesus and live out your purpose. Because we understand, one, you can't live out your purpose without knowing Jesus. But two, we also understand once you meet Jesus, you're finally going to understand your purpose. And maybe you haven't understood it before. Because I think, you know, I can label myself as a wife and as a mother, but there is a person of who I am, my DNA and how I was wired, that makes me who I truly am. Now, I am a wife and I am a mother, but you take those two things away and I shouldn't lose an identity. You understand? Because of who I am should make me a better wife. Because of who I am should make me a better mother. Put your hand down, Brian. And so understand that. I mean, I don't do that when you preach. And so I'm kidding. I do. I talk to him a lot. And so I understand that I need to know truly who I am so I can function in the roles that I have in a better way. Okay, so where I'm going to take you today is the story of John the Baptist. Little history about this story. At the same time, Mary, the mother of Jesus, became pregnant with Jesus. So did an older lady, Elizabeth, became pregnant with also a baby in her old age. At about 6 months, they both met up, saw each other, and it says that John the Baptist, John, moved in her womb when they saw each other because he had already recognized something. See, I don't know if you saw today, but our little girl who's 2.5 recognized what worship was. So she was standing on the front row with her arms raised in the air. Not because we told her to do that. She recognized worship is starting. Why? Because we worship at home. See, we turn on worship music at the house and we begin to praise and we begin to worship. So it's a part of her understanding something early on. So I'm going to open us up in Mark chapter 1, 2 through 13, and I'm actually going to read out of the Passion Translation. If you don't have that, we're going to put it up here. And it starts with Isaiah the prophet who wrote, "Listen, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way. He is a thunderous voice of one who shouts in the wilderness, 'Prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord Yahweh and clear a straight path inside your hearts for him.' John the baptizer was the messenger who appeared in an uninhabited region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the complete cancellation of sins. A steady stream of people came to be dipped in the Jordan River as they publicly confessed their sins." Now listen, I would love to go to the biblical form of that. Could you imagine on a Sunday morning, people just standing at the altar shouting out their sins to ask for repentance from God? Everybody's like, "We would totally leave. I'm not doing that." But that's how hungry people were to know my sins will be canceled out. They were not ashamed to shout it out because they knew this is not who I am. The moment I speak it out and I release it, it's canceled. See, it's understanding that you're not I don't ever want people to be ashamed of their sin. I want people to release their sin. I want people to come out from underneath their sin. See, our job here at church is not to tell you how wrong you are. It's to show you how good God is. Because that's what the church should be about. But that's another thing. I'll keep going on this. They came from all over southern Israel, including nearly all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. John wore a rough garment made from camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey of the wilderness. Now listen, there's a lot of debate on there is a fruit in Israel called locust. There's also this like pancake type of stuff that they would make that they actually called locust. I don't know what he ate. I don't really don't care. All I know is he didn't eat a lot. He didn't eat meat, and I love meat, so I'm like, man, you must have always been hungry. So that's all I worry about. I don't care if it was a bug or a pancake. Either way, it's not sustainable for me. So I'm like, high five. You are awesome that's all you ate. What I love about John the Baptist is he really owned who he was. And my first point today that I want to spend some time talking about is being in your place will position somebody into their purpose. So I want you to understand this, because we see that John the Baptist had been baptizing these people, but I want you to get a picture in your head that one day Jesus came onto the scene. Now, historians will tell you that people would line up all the way around to wait to be baptized. So I see Jesus, being who he is, standing in a line waiting to be baptized. I see the humility of the Son of Man saying, I know that I was supposed to come to this place to receive something. But yet he was waiting his turn. See, I think a lot of us want positions quickly. I think a lot of us get into a place because everybody falls prey to this. I don't care who you are. I mean, you know, when we stepped in as lead pastors 2 years ago, there's a pressure that because of social media and everything, you should be the fastest growing church in all the United States. So when you're not, you start to think, what are we doing wrong? When God sits there and says, no, I'm setting a foundation. And then when you actually go and do your own research and realize that 96% of all churches stay under 200. So we actually fall into the 4th percentile. So that's really cool. I fall into the same percentile as a lead pastor in the churches that have 10,000 people. See, that feels a little bit better than being like, we're in the top 4%. Most people wouldn't think you could say that in this, but that's because 96% of all churches in the United States never go over 200. But see, if we limit ourselves to see something the way that we see it, and we don't see what God's doing in people's hearts, and we don't see who we're actually positioning for purpose, we miss out. See, when we start looking at numbers and not people, we miss out. And I think that's where Jesus didn't get in front of everybody and say, listen, I know what you're doing here today is probably awesome, but I have this great work to do. I mean, like, I'm the Son of God. Can I butt in line? Can I get in front of you? I almost did that at our 2-year thing for a snow cone because the line was so long. I almost wanted to pull my pastor card, and I was like, Jesus would so not do this. So I actually did not get a snow cone because the line was just too long for me. But I actually thought about Jesus waited in lines. Because he did not think that his purpose was better than anybody else's. And I think we have to recognize our purpose. But the only way we can recognize our purpose is to be in the place that God's called us to be and in position to either receive or give what we're called to do. And if you rush past something, and we've all done that. We've all had times where we thought we need to hurry up and I don't know if I can do this, or I need to go this way, or this is taking too long, or I want to be this. I mean, when I was younger and I would lead worship, I've been leading worship since I was super young, and it would be like, oh, you're going to be like this, or you're going to be like this, or da 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 da. So in my mind, because people kept saying that, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a traveling worship leader, you know, and so that would be my mindset. And all of a sudden, I began to realize as I got older and started to really enjoy being at home. And I'm like, after a couple, several days of vacation, I'm ready to go home. I'm one of those people. Like, even Jaylee did that this year. She's like, I'm ready for my house. You know, we're kind of like that. I begin to realize that I allowed what other people to stamp as that would make me be somebody. You know, because I'm going to be honest, have you ever been to a worship night, you know, and the ones that you pay for? So you go to I went to a Bethel night. Well, people are just like, wow, they're up at the stage and they're like, wow. And I remember the worship team being one time like, man, I wish our people did that. And I said, these people paid to be here. I said, of course they're doing that. I said, we get to lead worship for people that sometimes don't want to be there. How cool is that? Like, God trusts us to lead worship for people that, one, might not understand it, two, have no flipping idea what we're doing up here, but they know they feel something, but they're not 100% sure they want to feel it or should feel it or what's going on, but they're standing here. That's what we have the opportunity to minister, and we can think that's not a big deal. We can look at that and think, well, that's not as cool as that. Well, I'm not in this thing for coolness. And I think we have to get to that place that that's not what we're in this thing for. We're in this thing for purpose. We're in this thing to be able to identify who we are. You know what's funny? The word position means to affect one's power to act. So if you know what's happened in this place, what was getting ready to happen was John the Baptist was going to baptize Jesus. And he was in a position to affect Jesus' ability to power to act. John the Baptist did what he was called to do, and he was in the place he was supposed to be. Are we? That's what I want to ask us this morning. Are we where we're supposed to be? Verse 7 says this, and this is the message he kept preaching. There is a man coming after me. So John the Baptist would baptize people and then say this, there's a man coming after me who is greater and a lot more powerful. Let me tell you how incredible that is. That would be like me getting up here and saying, there's another church that's coming and it's going to be a lot better than ours. It's going to be way more powerful, so just get ready. And when it opens, we're going to have you guys leave. That is what he's doing. Essentially, that's what John the Baptist is doing. So much humility, totally owned where he was. And he said, I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie the strap of his sandals. I've baptized you in water, but he's going to baptize you into the spirit of holiness. I've done this, but he's going to do this. Because this is my point. Owning your identity will release someone to operate in theirs. What do I mean by that? John the Baptist, okay, so this is him. He owned the fact that he was the messenger and not the Messiah. He had heard about a Messiah. He had heard that one was coming, but he didn't try to step into that position. He owned the fact that he was the messenger, not the Messiah. He owned the fact that he was called to prepare the way, not be the way. See, I look at our lives sometimes, and are we okay if we're the messenger and not the Messiah? Are we okay if we're preparing something for somebody and we don't actually get to be the way? We get to prepare the way. See, who I am should never intimidate somebody. It should inspire them. And if it does, I have to step back and look at my life. Because I'm an extroverted person. I know y'all are so shocked by that right now. And that is my personality. But I have to understand that when I'm around introverts, that can become extremely overwhelming. So when I'm in conversations, I don't usually talk at this level with an introvert. Now, if me and Jen are talking together, we're both shouting at each other in excitement as we're explaining things. My husband's like, I can hear you in the other room. I'm like, I'm sure Brandon can hear her too. It's just who we are. Because it's our personality to just come at full force. But I own who I am. And it was a lot of times in life growing up, I would try to change people to be more like me because I figured you'd be better. It's like, man, you can't confront anybody. I can confront everybody. You gotta start confronting. Well, what started happening? I was confronting everybody at every time, at any moment. And so I started to be known as the pastor that liked to have meetings. That's not something that you want to hang above your wall. The pastor who enjoys meetings. That's not something you high-five people about. That's right. No, that means anytime I would look at somebody and, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I would watch color leave their body. Ask Mackenzie several times. I'd just be trying to ask her a simple question and just white as a ghost. I'd be like, I'm just trying to ask you something about overhead. If you asked the team how I was 3 years ago, totally different. Because there was something, I was trying to have a persona of what I thought a pastor or what I thought a leader or I thought somebody would should be. And I wasn't getting my example from the Lord, from the word of God. To go, wait a second, I can do this, but I can be gentle. I can do this and I can be loving. I can do this and show you who God is without trying to tell you everything I think you're doing is wrong. Because that's not my job. My job is to lead you to Jesus. And what I love about John the Baptist is he took this assignment so seriously to the fact that he told everybody, listen, I know I keep baptizing people, but one day there's one coming. He owned who he was. And I think sometimes we shy away from who we're called to be because we don't think it's great enough. And I think we've got to step back because we don't know whose lives we're going to touch. We don't know who's going to inspire us. We don't know who is going to say something that all of a sudden gives us strength when we thought it might actually scare us. Because I believe that every person in this place, you have a purpose, but are you living out that God-given purpose without putting it up against, well, this looks like it's success and this doesn't? Because we measure certain things by a scale that I believe is broken. I don't believe that scale is right. You know, we used to go to, we were youth pastors before. We stepped in as lead pastors, and I'll never forget, you know, we used to go to this huge youth conference where the guy who was doing it, he had like 1,000 people in his youth. We had like 75. And I remember thinking, you know, and Brian's like, well, I'm going to ask to meet with him. And I'm like, okay. He's going to be like, how many people do you have? 75? Yeah, okay, I have other people to meet with. I mean, that was my mentality. It wasn't like that. Because the guy saw the passion and the fire inside of us. And I'll tell you what. Majority of our leaders that are working in this church right now came out of our youth. We've had 6 couples get married out of our youth, which is incredible. I mean, when you look at that and think, wow, they met, got saved, and actually are married and serving in the church, that's an incredible thing. Because you can look and say, well, I had 500 but not know where they are. Or you can look and said, I had 70, but there's still 30 that are still serving. They're still with us. See, Jesus poured into 12 because he knew the importance of the 12. So let me encourage you. Stop looking for the multitude and find the one. It might be one person that you're placed at your job for to meet. And you've been trying to figure out, why in the world am I still here? Why in the world am I still doing this? Why is this still happening? And God's like, I have you in this place for a reason. I have you here for a reason. One day Jesus came from the Galilean village of Nazareth, and John had immersed him in the Jordan River. The moment Jesus rose up out of the water, John saw the heavenly realm split open. So this was the moment he realized who he was. That'd be so cool. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon him. And at the same time, a voice from heaven. So not only did a dove come, but God's like, in case you didn't realize how cool that was, I'm just going to talk from heaven for you. I love God. He's like, hey, here's this, but hey, here's this. You are my son, my cherished one, and my greatest delight is in you. Immediately after this, he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go into a desert region. He remained there in the wilderness for 40 days, enduring the ordeals of Satan's tests. What is my point? The moment heaven speaks, hell screams. I never want you to be misled. So I'm going to take a moment. The moment you start to own your identity, the moment heaven begins to speak to you, the moment you give your life over to Jesus, I think sometimes we picture ourselves, the moment we come to an altar, or the moment we raise our hand, we do that, we go and get lost in a field of lilies. And baby angels begin to serenade us with their violins, and life is perfect. No, the moment heaven speaks, hell begins to scream. Hell is not wanting you to know your purpose. Hell does not want you to walk out your purpose. Why do you think identity issues are on the rise, and they have been for quite some time, and why we compare everything and everybody to everything and everybody? Social media doesn't help because it shows us you should look like this and be like this and eat this and not eat this and maybe some of this and maybe this, but then try this, but maybe this will work and this doesn't work, try this. By the time you're done looking at social media, you're going to bed crying, going, oh my God, I fail at everything. I can't cook that. I can't even eat that. I definitely can't wear that. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, she had a baby and she lost her weight in 3 weeks. It's been 2.5 years and I'm still holding on strong. What is happening? These are my cries at night. Well, my body's different than Heidi Klum's. And why I was ever comparing myself to a German model, I do not know. And why she was my, like, I mean, it's not like I was ever going to be as tall as her. But for some reason, it was like, I mean, in 6 weeks, yeah, personal trainer, personal cook, all those kind of things, those come in handy. You know, personal nanny, you know, all those kind of things. My child wasn't sleeping, so I was like, oh my God. I'd cry out, play worship music. And I literally told God one night, you're not even listening to me. Like, I know you're up because I don't think you sleep as far as what I've seen in the Bible. You're not making her sleep. I mean, you just have something you can do. Something. I was like, I'm going into that thing that people talk about. I don't know what it is, but it's post something. I can feel it. I mean, it was just like all these things were bombarding me. And I just, why? Because we see so much. We're inundated with so much. And then on top of that, hell is screaming. saying, you're not that. Do you remember what your parents told you? Do you remember what your father told you? Do you remember what your friends told you? Do you remember what people in school told you? And we believe those lies because those lies are louder than what heaven is speaking. One, because we're not making sure every day we're hearing what heaven is speaking to us. And I think we're under an assumption that if I serve God, my life is going to be perfect. No, the moment you serve God, hell now does not like you. I think you got to understand that, like, Satan has now put you on a hit list. Before, you kind of just were just doing whatever. And so the devil was like, man, they're kind of messing their own lives up. It's cool. The moment you gave it to Jesus, it was like, oh, crud. We got to hit them now. And I think I don't know if as a church, so I apologize if we've not done a good job of making sure you understand that that's why you've got to get some stuff inside of you. That's why you've got to understand your purpose. And that's why you've got to be in a reach group, because when you're in community and you're going through something and you begin to tell somebody, man, I have faced hell this week. It has been screaming. The people around you begin to speak the words of heaven and they begin to surround you with what God says and his promises and his word and what he says about you. And it begins to combat every lie that the enemy has told you. There's a destiny for your life, but understand the moment you begin to walk out your destiny is the moment hell begins to send detours. Saw this in youth ministry a lot. As soon as a guy or girl would get on fire for God, they'd meet somebody. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you're 12. You don't know what love is. Oh, I do. I'm telling you, I know it. When I see him, I just go, oh. I'm like, okay, yeah, that'll keep you going for a while. I mean, and they just tell you the craziest stuff. Like, I had this dream. I'm like, just stop. What movie did you watch before bed? You got mail? Okay, well, you can't, no. And we were chatting, and I felt like it was a sign. It's not. It wasn't on AOL, so just move along. So it's not a sign. You know, we've moved up in the world. Well, you know, and we grow up and we watch, you know, Jaylee's new favorite movie is Tangled. She goes, I want to watch that movie with the bad mutter. I'm like, okay, I don't know where her father is. Okay, that's good. The bad mutter. Because we had to explain to her because, you know, mom shouldn't act like it. We're like, it's not really her mom. No, it's not her mutter. I'm like, no. So she just watches. But there's this fairy tale of he comes and he rescues her. And I realize this is already setting in for you. Like, he came to your tower, let down your hand, I'm going to save you. Ah! And it's all this stuff. And that's what we're looking for. So when we're 20, we're like, where is he going to save me? And God's like, it's he who finds a wife. So knock it off, ladies. Just wait. Oh, man, we're like deer in headlights sometimes when we aren't married. Like, you know, and I see it at the church. I'm going to be honest with you. All the single ladies, I see it. It's like somebody in news goes, like, who's that? We don't know yet, okay? We don't know if they're saved. We don't know if they're sanctified. Calm down. You're just trying to get, I mean, seek the Lord. He will find you. God is big enough to bring you your spouse. Believe me, in my story, in my head, I was not going to meet my husband in Ponca, Arkansas, leading worship in the middle of nowhere, outside in the leaves, but that's where I met him. So you just never know how God is going to do things. So and did I ever think I'd move to Arkansas? You better believe no. In my mind, Arkansas were the people I saw on the news, the ones without teeth, that their burgers fly away from them. Those, that's what I figured. So, but I didn't realize that people thought because I was Oklahoma, people asked me, do we still ride stagecoaches? Literally, dead set, somebody from New York asked me that. I like laughed and then realized they weren't laughing. You're being totally serious. No, we do have vehicles now. We have to plug them in every once in a while. I'm kidding. We see so much and we feel so much, but how much of it is truly from the Lord? How much do we really understand that God's trying to get across to us? How much do we really see who we are? The moment you get saved is the moment that God begins something inside of you to birth out something new. And I'm going to tell you something because I can talk about this now. The birthing process is not easy. Okay, I thought it was. I didn't go to a class. I read one book and I thought, I'm going to pray and the baby's going to pop right out. I mean, I'll just go through a couple contractions. You know, they say get over the contractions. Okay, I'm going to do that. Okay. So I'm there for a couple hours. I could totally handle this. was on my birthday, so that was kind of not fun because I told people to bring me food, and then the lady walked in and said, you actually can't eat all day. I was like, it's my birthday. Not only am I having to share this day with this unborn child at this moment, but now I can't eat this awesome thing that was brought to me, so it was like, whatever. So, you know, if you understand the birthing process, there's levels. So I was like at a level 7, and that's where my life just stopped. And I looked at Brian, I'm dying. Like this is it. And I was on an exercise ball trying to get over the contraction because that was my picture in my mind, but that's not what you do. And so nothing was working. And I had told him, I'm not getting an epidural. I'm telling you right now, it is not of God. I'm not doing it. That's it. So, and whatever you believe, that's totally fine. Don't post. I got it. I'm just telling you, this is where I was at. Okay. So I went into the bathroom, and this is what God spoke to me. This is my individual experience. Everybody understand that? Are we clear? So I don't want any emails. Okay. So I'm standing in the bathroom. I'm like, God, why are you not helping me? And he's like, because you're being prideful, take the epidural. Oh, I walked. That was the quickest I've ever listened and obeyed God. I walked right out. I said, you can give me that epidural. Brian, panic set in because I had talked him in. You're like, you don't want to get epidural. Your back can get messed up and all kinds of stuff. I had a friend. And so he's like, you're getting an epidural? I said, yeah, you're not in this pain. I'm getting that. So we begin to speak, and it was kind of funny. So, you know, then I was smiling. All my sisters came back in. They're like, well, you're totally different. I'm like, yeah, I'm not vomiting violently anymore from the contractions. That was another awesome thing. I couldn't stop. So I have this baby, and it's awesome. And a couple weeks later, I was praying, and I was saying, God, how come I had to get to that place? How come that, why? And he said, you know, it's funny. You had read this book, but then you begin to tell people that it had epidurals. You're not going to need one. I don't need this. I'm going to be able to do this. And he said, it became a pride thing for you that you wanted to do it to prove you're spiritual enough to have a baby without it. And he said, that's not how I work. And I think a lot of times in our own identity, in our own birthing process, we're trying to prove something in our own strength. See, I wasn't really leaning on God. I was leaning on my ability, on what I thought I could do. How many of us are doing that? And let's be honest, the thing we're called to birth out is stuck. Because that's what happened. And right now, what's happening for you is the thing that God has called you. Because you have a purpose and you have something that needs to be done on this earth. You're stuck at a place because you and yourself in your own ability are trying to birth something you cannot do on your own. You need the hand of God. See, John understood, I have a place that I need to be, a position where I need to release something to the one that's the way. I'm going to prepare the way, but he is the way. I'll be the messenger, but I know he's the Messiah. See, I don't know what end you're at. And see, I don't even know what God holds for us and what this church is going to look like. But what I do know is I want to be in the very place and position that God's called us to be. And I don't want to trust in our own knowledge and our own ability, but to rely on the voice of God on where to go forward. You know, we just announced we're going to 2 services. We announced it because God spoke it. Does it make sense to everybody? No, because you think, well, you can put some chairs over there and you can put some chairs over there. Yeah, you haven't seen the classrooms today. And you know what? I love my teachers and I want my teachers to love what they do. So I don't want one person having 15 children. You can barely handle your one. Okay? So, I mean, she's nonstop. I'm not even kidding. So I'm just saying, we spoke it because God spoke it first. God has spoken very specific things to you. I don't know what they are. But I want you to know that when you walk this thing out, that God promises you victory. Now the enemy, he'll send his vengeance. But the Bible says that the vengeance belongs to the Lord. Because he knew the enemy in your moments of victory would try to get vengeance. There's probably been moments in your life where you felt like you got a handle on your identity. You got a handle on how you're feeling as a single person or as a married person or as a person that works or doesn't work and is looking for a job. You might have thought at some point you had a handle on your identity and your purpose, whatever that is. But then all of a sudden, something began to come against you. That's the enemy sending his vengeance because heaven has spoken. What I want you to grab a hold of is what heaven has spoken. And I don't want you to let that go. And you need to be you. You can ask anybody on my team, this team, don't do it in front of me because that could be awkward, but you can ask them, has Alicia ever tried to make you lead worship like her? I 100% can know the answer that they would tell you absolutely not. That she's always pushed us to lead the way that we lead, the way we're called to lead. They're not all going to twirl and almost fall every Sunday. That will be me. And I made people nervous when I was pregnant because I did the same thing. I'm who I am. That's what I do at home. So if I do that at home, believe me, I'll do it here. You just need to be you. And here's the best thing I can leave you with. You're the only one that can be you. There's only one you. So when you start to think it's not significant, understand there's only you. There's no one else that can be you. There's no one else that can be in the place. If John the Baptist decided to say, I'm really tired of living in this wilderness. I smell. I'm eating something. I don't know if I like it, but I'm just supposed to keep showing up and baptizing people. And one day this guy's supposed to show up. He'd been baptizing people for quite some time. And one day, he just kept saying, and one day, and that was enough for him. Let the word that God's spoken to you be enough. See, I think we want word after word after word after word, and God's going, yeah, I'm going to wait till you fulfill the first one. You trust me enough for the first one. You lean on me enough for the first one. Then I'm going to move you to the next phase. See, that makes sense to us in a natural mind, but spiritually, we want to rush from point A to point Z. But you're going to miss something along the line that God's trying to teach you and show you. See, I've learned how to pray for things when it's difficult because of what I faced. I have more I can give people due to the trials I faced in my life. So I don't look at those and scoff at them and think, I wish they never happened. No, I actually learned more from my defeats than I've ever learned from any victory. And that's why I'm here, to be able to proclaim what God says. Not because I get it. Not because I'm fully walking in it. Because I have an understanding of what my purpose is. Because I have an understanding of what God's called me to do. And I'm owning who I am. It's all God wants you to do. Own who you are. Because the moment you own who you are, people around you can begin to operate in their giftings. It's like a domino effect. If I never led worship, I couldn't answer for everybody up here if they'd be up here or not, because a lot of them, I personally pushed them to get up here. They would have never, Ryan probably never would have been on this stage if I didn't say, I think I'm going to have you play guitar for me. In his mind, he didn't think he was good enough to play up here. But see, I knew what I saw. I knew the gift and the calling on his life. So I called him into his place and said, that's not a praise for me. That's saying, because I was standing in my purpose and knowing I see something you don't see and I'm going to call it out, that he stood up here and began to play year after year, started in the youth band and now here. Why? Because he owned what God had called him to do. We have to own our positions. And I just want you to stand up in this place and we're just going to pray. And wherever you're at in your journey this morning, maybe you've owned parts of your identity, but other parts you've tried to get rid of, or you're not sure. People have told you you're too loud. Well, that's great. You're going to be awesome at proclaiming the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Own who you are. Own it. God, I thank you for every person in this place that has a purpose and an identity. But God, I thank you that they see their purpose and their identity through your eyes and your eyes only. That every lie that's been spoken over their life, every word that's been said negative, I come right now, Father God, in this place and I speak against it. God, I thank you that vengeance belongs to you. And I thank you for those that were told they're never good enough, that God, you're going to let them know how good they truly are. Because God, you abide in them. God, you love them. And I thank you, they're going to start seeing themselves as a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That God, it is a renewing daily. That God, you say that your mercies are new every day. That means we need your mercy every day. So God, let us remember to ask for your mercy, to ask for your guidance, to ask for your help, Father God. Ask. And you shall find. God, I thank you that that resonated in our hearts this morning. Man, I just want you personally right now just to ask God whatever you need him to show you. If it's reminding you of who you are, then just say, God, help me see my myself through your eyes, not the eyes of others that I've allowed to stamp me. God, I want to see myself through your eyes. If you're in this place this morning, man, I don't know, maybe you've never accepted Jesus before. But maybe you did. Maybe when you were younger, you said a prayer, but you just know, man, he has not been the Lord of my life. And this morning, I want to stamp something. This morning, I want to declare that I have a new identity. I want to change from the inside out. If that's you this morning, and you want to just ask Jesus to come into your heart, say, I want to do this thing the right way. I want to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I just want you to put your hand up in the air so I can acknowledge you this morning. And you just say, I want to ask Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior in this room. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I want to personally pray with you. If you don't mind coming down just right here, just to the front. I just want to pray with you. Come on, let's give them a hand, church. This is the best decision you're ever going to make. This is awesome. It's awesome. Best decision you'll ever make. I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. God, forgive me of my sins. Wash me as white as snow. Today is a new day. I am a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, today, all things are coming new. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on. So awesome. We're going to get something in your hand. We're going to get something in your hand this morning. We're going to be having a class starting in October that you can get connected in. That's going to be on Sunday mornings where you can understand, man, what does it mean to live for Jesus? Because we want to give people an understanding of what your walk is going to look like. So because I told you, man, this morning heaven spoke. And hell wants to scream, but we want you to be able to scream back at hell and say, it doesn't matter what you send my way. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Come on, church. If you believe it, say amen.